Welcome to Being Multidimensional with Ron Navarre. Hello, friends from near and far, and welcome to another episode of Being Multidimensional. I'm your host, Ron Navarre. It's been a while. I've had a lot of wonderful journeys and experiences since my last episode, which was to announce the release of my book, Diary of a Multidimensional Being. I went to Germany, and I went to Mallorca, and had just an incredible time serving those who chose to show up for themselves and to be in full presence with each other. And it was a very transformational process for everybody. And I just wanted to give you kind of a sense of what that is like. My friend Philip Fuchs, who I've known for over 20-some years, is the steward of a 1,000-year-old castle just outside of Baden-Baden in Eberstein-Berg. And he has created a space at the castle where he lives and takes care of the maintenance, in which he invites people through his organization called Epimeleia to just show up anytime and disconnect from the outside world, be present, ground themselves. It's an incredible energy. It's an incredible view in all directions, the mountains, the Black Forest, all the way out to the border of France. But more importantly, it's like entering another dimension. You walk up this long stairwell to get up to the courtyard, and you enter the courtyard, and it just feels magical. Like you are someplace far away, and almost immediately it encourages you to drop your baggage, let go of whatever you have been struggling with and holding on to, and you just become very present moment to moment. We have these gatherings. We've had two so far, one last February and then this previous one in October, in which we invite people for a 2.5-day experience. And it is one of gathering in communion, showing up without any agenda whatsoever. Now, this is very rare. Even though we would say it's a transformational journey or a deep look into your soul, there's no set form or format. We allow it to evolve by showing up in full presence ourselves and then witnessing who is also present. And then we get a sense of where everyone is in their journey of growth and spiritual ascension to higher frequency. And the form emerges. And we use a couple of tools and practices. And one of them is the talking stick. And that is, we gather in a circle around a fire, a big bonfire in the center of the courtyard. And we pass the stick around from person to person. Whoever holds the stick holds the attention and is free to communicate at will. They're also free to just hold the stick in silence, which in itself is a profound experience. We sometimes have upwards of 8 to 10 people in the group, and we allow the space and the time for everyone to just connect to themselves, connect to each other, ground, center themselves in the space, and then we invite them to look inward, to see what is present. What are you holding on to that you do not need to carry any longer? And this is often a process of clearing out old identity baggage in which we have certain narratives and beliefs and old traumas that we might be struggling with now and not even aware that we're what we're wrestling with. And so part of the process is discovery. What is it that we discover when we look inward? We do some writing in which I'll often prompt the group to just journal. Where are you now? What are you thinking about? What have you been dealing with lately? What sort of reoccurring narratives keep popping up in your mind? And how does that affect how you feel emotionally and physically? And so the process begins. The castle is right on the edge of the Black Forest. And it is also, energetically speaking, a magical environment. And each day we bring everyone into the forest with a mat and with a notebook and say, go find a spot somewhere in the forest that's quiet, that's secluded. Sit down, lie down, breathe, and just listen. Listen to the forest. Listen to yourself. And write whatever comes to mind. And just give yourself that time to reflect. And then we come back into the courtyard, and this could last anywhere from an hour to 90 minutes. And then we all sit around the fire again. Sometimes we do another round with the talking stick, and we talk about what we discovered within ourselves. What's really fascinating is to see what happens when you give yourself the time and the space to stop, to slow down, to plant yourself, and just listen and breathe and feel. I breathe, I feel, I flow, I know. Whatever it is that I am experiencing is my truth right now. And as we go through that process, it's like peeling back the layers of an onion. We discover a layer of holding, of resistance, of struggle. And then once we can acknowledge it, we can let it go. And sometimes we toss it into the fire, or we cleanse with a water ritual or a freestyle movement process of spinning the energies out of the core and into space and into the ground. Philip and I have a lot of different experience and a lot of different training. I always incorporate my energetic practices, Tai Chi, Qigong, meditation, insight, and inquiry, reflection. And it's also such a powerful experience to acknowledge self in the presence of community. This is true fellowship. We are here to support each other without agenda. We do not judge. We have no expectation. We are simply there to allow each other to find themselves, reveal whatever they feel safe to reveal in that moment. And so it goes, and it goes on for several days. Philip is a wonderful chef. He creates all these wonderful meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we have ample space to just relax and connect and communicate with each other. By the end of the third day, everyone is transformed. Everyone has discovered parts and pieces of self that they no longer wish to carry with them and release a good amount of those things, which makes everyone feel freer, lighter, more adaptable, more fluid. and more excited to be creative, to go back to their lives, but differently, to know that through that process, which is a very healing process of transformation, that they have become more connected to themselves, to the world at large, and are able to move forward with a greater sense of freedom. So that's our German experience, and we'll be doing another one in the end of March. And then I flew to Mallorca for the first time to visit with my friend Estella, who has a wonderful community of yoga practitioners and teachers. She lives outside of Palma, the main city, but also teaches at the oldest yoga studio in Palma. And I did a 2-hour seminar there, which was based on an exploration of authentic presence, on embodying your soul light. And it was a lot of yoga teachers. And it's an environment that I am familiar with. I taught yoga for 15 years, but I haven't been in that community, the yoga community, for probably just as long, because I was really focusing on teaching Tai Chi. And it was such a joy to reconnect to that part of myself that really loves and cherishes yoga. And there are so many different kinds of yoga, so many different philosophies, and it doesn't really matter to me. It's really, it's the commitment, again, to connect to self, to connect to your core, to your higher resonance, to your soul presence. And that's, you know, essentially what yoga means, union or communion with self and your divine presence. And I just had the most wonderful 2-hour exploration with a wonderful group of people, all ages, all different backgrounds, different nationalities. And we did a little meditation, some Qigong, some introspection, a little bit of Tai Chi as well, and some chakra work. For those of you that are familiar with the chakras, there are different types of practices for that. For those of you that are not familiar, a chakra is an energy center within the center of the body, and we have 7 main chakras and many sub-chakras throughout the body. My basic chakra practice is to bring our breath and our focus into each chakra, to activate, to light it up, to expand it, and then to connect to the energies of heaven and earth, yin and yang. And through the alchemy of combining heaven and earth into each chakra, we transform. We connect to our higher spiritual self that is both non-physical, and to our earth presence, our earth body, and the consciousness of the planet itself. And it's a very simple, powerful practice. You can find that on my website as well. It was just wonderful. I had such a great time. Everybody wanted more, which was great. People who had studied yoga for decades heard things about yoga that they had never heard before, although I suspect they had and just hadn't heard it quite that way. So it was nice to reignite some curiosity in people who, you know, this happens with everybody. You practice any technique for a long time and you think you know it. And the moment you think you know it, you stop exploring it. And it often becomes sort of like you're on autopilot. I'm doing my practice, I feel better, and I move on. But really, it's an exploration into presence in the present moment. And any time that you go in and really listen to yourself in the present, you will discover something new. You will discover that, first of all, you're not the same person you were yesterday. You have grown, you have changed. And it really is a gentle reminder that we are fluid, multidimensional beings. We are not static, where our identities are constantly changing, constantly updating. And when you take the time to just acknowledge that alone, an incredible thing happens. You become curious again. You become excited again. Ooh, I didn't realize that I had all this at my disposal, that I was in the process of letting go of some old stuff and making space for new discovery. Then I spent time at Estella and her husband Philip's wonderful hacienda-style home out in the country. Lots of animals, cats and dogs and birds. And it was just, it's like being off the grid. And their community, which is absolutely wonderful. Everyone is an artist of some kind, a painter, a photographer, a writer, a sculptor. I love that energy of creativity. I did quite a few private sessions there as well, and each one was different. I am at a point where in my private work, I do not employ any specific technique. I connect, I listen, I see where the person is and what they might benefit from now to help them gently expand and release, lighten their load, and reconnect to themselves. And so it was just a magical experience all the way around. Since then, back in New York, I've had my own personal journeys of continuing expansion. My practice of sitting in stillness and silence has grown quite a bit. I've been meditating my whole life. I started meditating around the age of 11. And so I have quite a few decades behind me. But my experience and my reverence for stillness, for silence, has grown exponentially in the last few months. And this started, I think it was back in May of last year when I developed shingles, an experience that I had 30 years ago, but this one was very different. This experience was much more extensive. 30 years ago, I only had it on my left leg. Painful, but it was also a time in my life where I was making a shift, an identity change from being a Broadway performer to becoming a Tai Chi teacher. And I needed that experience to slow me down and turn my attention inward and begin that process of questioning. What's going on? Why am I having this? Why? What is it doing to me? What is it doing for me? Well, it's slowing me down and then eventually stopped me in my tracks. And then I started journaling. And that's when I really started journaling in earnest. And after several weeks, I went back and read my journal. And what was clear to me at that time was that I was done performing. I had an amazing experience as a actor, dancer, singer, director, choreographer, and teacher in the performing arts. I got what I needed out of that experience, and then it was time to move on. And at that time, I turned my attention back to the martial arts, which I began when I was around 11. And that core practice of grounding and centering myself, I went back to anew. And instead of teaching the hard styles of martial art like karate or taekwondo, I shifted to tai chi, which I had been studying for quite some time prior to that decision. And then that led into a 27-year, well, actually 30-year career of teaching tai chi in so many different venues, teaching tai chi in health clubs, in hospitals, in rehab centers, and in theater schools, and in colleges. I was fortunate enough to teach at the Lee Strasberg Theater and Film Institute for 27 years, and as a part of that, New York University through the theater department, Fordham University theater department, even taught tai chi at the Pacific Institute of Oriental Medicine. And regardless of where I taught, what I found to be true was how universal the principles of tai chi were, of how you could apply the principles of grounding, centering, softening, and flowing to any aspect of your life with great benefit. I taught and taught, and then I got to a point where I realized, well, I have done that. I've gotten out of it what I needed. And then I decided to quit and move on. And for the last 2.5 years, I have been writing, finished my first book, and just questioning, like, what's going on? Who am I? Where am I? What do I need now? How can I be of service now? And this is where the seminars in Germany, Mallorca, and how my private work has transformed. And so now we are in the second week of 2026. Today's the 15th of January. And I am in day 6 of a 21-day cleanse and clearing process. And this came organically. I've done it before. I hadn't really planned it, but I had a deep meditation over a week ago. And in that meditation, it was clear it's time. It's time to disconnect from media, from social media, from the news. It's time to simplify my diet, take out any alcohol or THC, sugar, just clean it up and listen to myself. I have to say, I highly, highly recommend this to everyone. To give yourself a break, several weeks at least, from the news, from social media. As I said, I've done it in the past. And what I found so interesting in the past of taking weeks, like up to 3, sometimes 4, is when I come back to the news and the social media, it's the same stories. It's the same dynamic. It's just fear and anger and anxiety and dismay. I can tell you, I'm only a few days in, but even within the first day, by the end of the first day of my solitude, I had more energy. I had a clearer focus. And that has only increased day by day, in which I am doing projects that I've wanted to do, but felt that I didn't have the energy to do. And here's what I want you to understand about energy. Energy flows where your mind goes. And if you are focused on the news and the social media and all those narratives and stories, that is what you are investing your time, your effort, your energy, and your spirit into. And the moment you stop that and tell yourself, I'm going to turn this back and give that energy and attention to myself, it is instantly transformative. I just feel so much calmer, more grounded, more centered. I'm more connected to my inner guidance, my soul whisper, which is always communicating. Although I sometimes don't listen to it because I'm distracted by all that other stuff. Fortunately, my wife, Madeline, when I told her, I said, look, I'm going to do this for 3 weeks. If you want to watch the news, that's fine. Just I will put on my noise-canceling headphones. I'll be in the other room. But she's really been so wonderful about minimizing my exposure. Yesterday, I was in one room and she was in the other, and she just said, can you believe what's going on? I said, please, I don't want to hear it. I do not want to hear it. And she said, right. I'm sorry. And that is such a gift. And I think it's been good for her as well, because I'm just like everybody else as far as news and social media. I go through periods where I am locked in and I am looking at my phone and my feeds and like constantly throughout the day and listening to all the pundits and all the, and it's not helpful. It doesn't serve me and my well-being at all. And we do it because we believe that it, on some level, it's going to keep us safe by keeping us informed. I have to say, I feel safer without it. I really, really do. I feel more joyful, more open and free to connect with other people and to just receive the moment without having to filter it through all of these fearful narratives. Now, I know a lot of people will say, but I have to know what's going on to protect myself. Yes and no. For a period of time, a couple of weeks, if something really, really major is going to impact your immediate health and well-being, you will know. People around you will be talking about it, and you will pick it up without having to look at the news. So having said that, when you do disconnect from that dimension, which I call the interference field, because it really does block and interfere with our ability to sense and feel ourselves clearly, when you disconnect from that, your world becomes your immediate surroundings, your current environment. And for most people, for the majority of time, your immediate environment is most often peaceful and quiet. I live in New York City. It's very active. There's always a lot going on. There's a lot of activity. If I look at the news of New York City, it looks like I might be living in some form of war zone. But I don't see that. I don't experience it on a daily basis. I rarely do. When I am out and about traveling through the city, I rarely encounter any form of threat or violence. Now, I am also very aware of my environment, and I do not put myself into situations that are potentially threatening, and that's just part of my martial training of self-preservation. Why would I want to walk through a construction area where I might get hit by some debris? So I go to the other side of the street. Why would I want to interject myself in the middle of a heated argument between people I don't know, which often results in injury to bystanders? No. I see it, and I avoid it. So I navigate my environment with awareness, with gentleness, with fluidity. And I avoid all of the potential negativity and or negative outcomes. And that's just something that I can do because I'm not plugged into my phone. If you're looking at your phone all the time, you're simply not aware of your environment, and that increases the probability of something happening an accident of some kind. So it's a good reminder. I cannot tell you how wonderful a break it is. It's really like being on vacation from the machine media, which is designed specifically. I don't care which media you're looking at, does not matter. It is all designed to keep you, your attention attached to the feed, to make you come back again and again and again. And it literally sucks the energy right out of you. And as your energy becomes depleted, you start to feel more and more anxious, because that level of depletion sends up alarm bells internally. You start feeling like you are becoming weaker, and that makes you feel more vulnerable. And the moment you cut it off and you turn it back to self and you just focus on being present within yourself and breathing gently, your energy level will pick back up again. I think that's enough for now. I thank you all for tuning in again. I am going to endeavor to record more often and more frequently. I would like to, now that I have the energy, to record something at least twice a week. So be open and look at your RSS feed for incoming podcasts. Until next time, my friends, soften, smile, breathe, and receive gently in harmony and service. Thank you.